I really hate the camera angle you made me set up. I don't think it's good. Hold on.
Hi.
Hi.
We are here in real intelligence. Well, the intelligence part is questionable. We'll get back to that. But how's it going?
Hi, it's amazing, buddy. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. We're ready for the second part of our AI trilogy.
Yeah. Last week, we established that I am correct and AI generated written word is your creation.
I just hope that and this part this of our week, trilogy is not like the middle movie in The Matrix. Right? We need to just keep getting better.
Okay. Before the crash, I think this is an important note for the three people to listen.
Yeah.
Before the crash, you know, the semi truck scene? No.
Which?
In The Matrix, the second Matrix.
Fuck me.
That's a damn good movie up until that moment.
Yeah.
It really does jump a shark right there, but it's pretty compelling up until then.
Yeah, the twins.
Yeah.
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 So last week we got into a fun discussion about AI in writing, in literature, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And we had a couple allusions to what we would talk about this week.
Yeah.
The topic for this week, we're going to transition from written to music and photography and videography, right? If we can manage to remember to talk about all three.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had, this is going to be interesting because I think, I don't know how we're going to align this week. It's going to be fun to see how this episode goes, but I want to really quickly go back to the outline that we have, right? Thanks ChatGPT for our outline. Talking about the introduction and significance of AI in music, photos, and videography, the use of AI, examples, and the impact on the creative process and human creativity. So I want to kick this off. Obviously, I want to know what your thoughts are on this, because you are, I think, definitely more into it on the photo and video side. I might be a little bit more into it in the music. I think your beliefs are going to be stronger in that field. But
I don't think so. Yeah, I think we're going to flip entirely.
I don't know. We'll see. We might. But
okay.
I want to start this off with I want to plant a little nugget that maybe we can come back to at the end. Okay. I have recently started using a new photo editing app as kind of my main go-to for editing.
It's tell me about it.
Luminar Neo. I find it to be really nice. I think a lot of the editing and adjustments in it are more geared towards somebody like me, like who's getting into it, wants to have a professional control over editing, but not necessarily ready to deep dive into Lightroom.
Sure.
The other thing I appreciate about it is that it does kind of combine Lightroom and Photoshop elements. And I think as I'm saying these words, I can kind of see in your reaction a little smile coming on your face. Like every other application that I mentioned, I think is just going to dive deeper and deeper into this rabbit hole of AI. But one of the things that's interesting about Luminar Neo is that it has a few sections that are actually labeled AI when it comes to photo editing. This is going to lead into maybe this topic for me, like what I'm really looking to get out of it. We can talk about Drake if we have time and all that other stuff, but I'm relatively newer into photography than you are.
Yeah.
And as I'm getting more and more into taking photos, which is part of it, and editing photos, which I think kind of is definitely the more time-consuming part of it, but a bigger part of it, I can't help but get stuck in this cycle of like, how much editing, like at what point of me editing photos is that, am I going to hit that point where it's just no longer my photo, right? I held the camera, I pressed the button, but I can replace the sky and put a sunset on a, you know, on a cloudy day, or, you know, the galaxy on a photo I took at noon. Like it's out there, right?
Right.
So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, okay. So you asked me earlier today about the Ship of Theseus, right? So the Paradox of Theseus, or the Ship of Theseus, is a thought experiment.
Okay.
And it's the idea that a ship leaves town on its way to sail across the globe.
Yep.
And on the way, you know, it has some problems, right?
Yep. So I own the ship.
You own the ship, yep. Right? So you replace the first 30 oars, you replace the floorboards, you replace the sail, you replace the mast. And when the ship lands, is it the same ship? Because if it is, I've got an axe to sell you. It's George Washington's axe. It's got a new blade and a new handle. But it's George Washington's axe. You owe me $1 billion.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is, first off, I want to establish the boundaries we set at the beginning of the first episode.
Yeah.
The features you're describing in your photo editing app are not AI. They might be machine learning.
Yeah.
At best, they're machine learning, right? They're sampling many, many other large databases of similar edits to make decisions and present to you a better edit.
Yeah.
I really don't like the term AI being used to describe that. Well, because I think back to that definition, like if AI can mimic human intelligence, then there's an ineffable quality to an edited image by a human, right?
Yeah. Like
a human would sometimes place a grain in an image. They would do that because it creates a certain aesthetic at a right time, or they would turn a picture of a newborn black and white to maybe cover up some rosacea. And a machine is not going to do that. It's going to instead do the thing that I'm most concerned about your editing, which is just, you know, color the skin differently, right?
Yeah, well, and I think you're right. I think there's some similarities and some differences in specifically this program, and I think where they use the AI term on it. So when I think about the sky editing aspect, if I do an AI masking for the sky, what it actually does is it reads the entire image, and then to your point, uses its historical knowledge of what is landscape, what is sky, what is mountains, what is horizon, etc., to map out what the sky would be.
Right, that's machine learning.
Right. Well, and then it's using, I guess, artificial intelligence, as it says it, to find the best replacement sky that would complement the rest of this image.
Sure.
And make it look natural.
So is that art?
I don't know, man. Like I'm kind of leaning towards this philosophy that the picture that was taken, the act of capturing that image, me using my vision, looking through the camera to find a point and capture that image, that is creation. That is art, right? Yeah. Me editing it and making the final result, I think it's still art, but it is, this is where I might be opposite of where I was last week, right? Because
you're literally making the opposite point right now.
I know you're struggling to say it. You can hear the hesitation in my voice because I'm so torn on this, but I do think it's different. And I can kind of tie it, I think, to my position last week. But I think the creation part of this is the part of me taking that photo, me capturing it initially, right? That is the photo. That is the art. Editing it is enhancing it, is changing it. Is the final product still mine? It's still mine. I made those edits and those changes. I confirmed them or selected them or adjusted them.
Yeah,
but that final product is also not the product that I started with. Well, the final product is George Washington's axe with a new handle and a new blade. Right. But what I started with was the actual axe. And if I'm still George Washington at the end, then it's still mine. It just has parts from other people.
Okay. So this is, I'm going to, you know, go back to that metaphor for a minute.
Yeah.
This is where I don't agree, is it's not George Washington's axe, because all that you're changing is the handle. Like when you, there's the photograph is still there, right? Unless you take a photograph, replace the sky, replace the subject, and replace the mountains. In which case, correct, that's a different thing,
right?
But that's not what you're doing. You're replacing the sky. You're replacing an element of the photograph,
and you're enhancing the rest of it,
right?
Right.
It is still art. I would argue, and I think it's objectively true,
okay,
that it is still art what you're doing.
Okay.
Now, the reason I bring it up, though, is not because I wanted you to argue that it's something different or that I believe it's something different.
Yeah.
I think it's actually proving out the point from last week that when Lightroom came to exist in the world, people threw their arms in the air and said, this is ridiculous.
Right.
This is cheating.
Okay.
And I remember being younger and hearing the term Photoshop as a verb to mean fix something, right?
You
Photoshop
that. Yeah, yeah.
But today, like, that is used by almost every photographer. Anyone that does that,
100%.
You know, professionally is using a tool like that.
Yep.
And anyone using it in an amateur sense is probably using a tool like that on their smartphone, on their tablet, or on another device.
Dozens of apps. Hundreds of apps.
And even if you're a person that says, well, I don't do either of those, like, you probably use a filter when you go to take a photo on Instagram or on TikTok, right?
Or you're using any sort of modern day smartphone but when you capture an image, you're not taking an image. And if
running a bunch of machine learning algorithms make that image.
The camera's not just taking one single image and giving it
correct.
To you. There's a lot happening that you don't know about.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I believe it is art. Okay. But I believe this brings up the idea that you said before. And again, I'm going to stick to the term machine learning, not AI, when it comes to photography.
Okay.
But in this situation where you've taken images, you were just in Antelope Canyon.
Yep.
In Antelope Canyon, there is almost no way to shoot up through that beautiful slot canyon and catch the sky. I mean, you would have to underexpose the image by like 14 stops to have a shot at that,
right?
I am
literally in the process of editing photos, and the one thing that's consistent throughout most of them is that there's just a very bright white light coming through the hole in the sky.
Right. So adding a sky to that.
Yeah.
Unless you're going outside, shooting that sky separately, uh-huh. and adding that sky.
Yep.
It is not representative of what you experienced in that canyon. Now, maybe people don't care because at the end of the day, photography isn't about capturing the moment as it was. It's about creating something that people will like, right?
Yep.
So maybe it doesn't matter, but it is an interesting one of like, well, that's not authentically what you photographed. And that becomes a bit of a juxtaposition for people about how they view photography. Is it about capturing the scene as it was or about creating an artistic representation of what you care about in that scene? So the question is, is it fair that you can touch a button, mm-hmm. mask out the sky, press two other buttons, and immediately replace it with a better sky, print that image, and pretend like you made something special? And if you did, are you a great photographer?
Is it fair? I mean, I think it's fair because it's normal today. Would it have been fair 50 years ago? No.
Because the tools exist, right?
Well, and because it's globally accepted now.
Okay.
The acceptance is there. Are you so an artist? am I an artist for being able to take a white sky and make it look like a real sky? I'm an artist in the specific realm of being able to do that specific thing, because not everybody can do that thing. Am I an artist for the overall picture? I'm an artist for components of the picture, right? Because I still captured the picture. And if the picture is just the sky, then no, because I changed the picture. But if the picture is of, you know, a slot canyon with a section of it which has been altered to represent it better, as a whole, I'm still an artist of the picture. It was still my vision. It was still my eye, my shot. So
can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
If I ask ChatGPT mm-hmm. to write me an essay.
Uh-huh.
About the Revolutionary War, uh-huh. written from the perspective of the Northern generals, uh-huh. it produces
a result.
A result, yeah. And I then edit that result
mm-hmm.
based on facts I've learned, information I've discovered, mm-hmm. and make it more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that one not okay?
I never said it wasn't okay. No. I never said it wasn't okay.
You said I don't own it. It's creativity. It's creationism.
That is not.
I think
what
you
I
argued
said.
Like you, biblical principles with me.
If you go back to the first episode, what I said
it's not
was,
your work.
No, listen. What I said was, if you ask ChatGPT to write you an essay about the Revolutionary War from the perspective of a Northern general, and it spits out that result, and you take that result verbatim and you submit it without any edits or changes, that is not your work. You cannot claim that. If you take that, you make the edits, you make the changes, you make the updates, or even prior to getting the result, you spend time to train it on your writing style, on your grammar style, your vocabulary style, and then take that result, then it is yours because, and we talked about this last episode, there is a point at which the level of input you have will determine your ownership of that product. I don't know what that level is. It is a very subjective line. But what I do know is that ask a question, submit the result as is not that line.
Okay, so back to photography then.
If I set up...
I'm just using your principles.
Yeah, but if I took a camera, and the only camera I can think of right now that has AI is the Sony A7 R5, which has AI components, and I don't know how extensive they are.
It's not AI.
What's that? I got it.
It's not AI.
I know, but that's what they call it. I know, but we're just going to go with it. And I don't know how much it's capable of, but let's just say it could. If I could take that camera, put it on a tripod, and say, hey, Sony, I want you to capture a picture of me. I want you to capture a picture for me of the best possible sunset image today. Go. And it does it. I didn't take that picture.
Right.
Right? But if I use that camera during golden hour at the point of sunset and use its technology to adjust the exposure and the aperture and the shutter speed to capture the best image, but I am using those tools to manually capture that photo, now I have a much more input in it, right?
I hear your term, but again, let me go through this. Uh-huh. I just want to make sure. Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
Photography.
Pick with death.
In its beginning states, is I'm going to take this film, which has a set ISO that I've picked.
Yep.
I'm going to change the aperture or the amount of light that comes in.
Yep.
I'm going to adjust the shutter speed, the speed in which it lets the light in.
Yep.
And I'm going to adjust the focus to pick the area in which I'm looking at. I am going to frame that photo using my eye. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to probably use a light meter to determine how to get that, you know, kind of triangle and balance, right?
Sure.
And I'm going to capture the image.
Right.
25, 50 years later, we get to cameras like, you know, let's go 10 years ago, right?
Okay.
Where I'm in aperture priority.
Okay.
With auto ISO.
Okay.
So the camera runs a light meter. It senses the right white balance.
Yep.
It sets the ISO. You manually change the... the aperture, you still frame the image, and you click the button, and it captures that image.
Correct.
In the modern day version, go back to your smartphone reference, right? Mm-hmm. There was a company that was in the news not that long ago for putting fake moons in a night photo.
A real moon. Fake.
A moon.
Fake image.
Not the one you shot.
It's a moon.
Okay, so we get to the point where you take a picture, and now... all you're doing is looking, pressing, and it auto reframes, it auto levels, it auto white balance, it auto exposures.
Yep.
It like
it does it all.
Well, it does what you said writing is inappropriate doing. Other than you're physically holding a freaking camera. And what you're about to argue before you even say it is, well, but look, I do all the inputs. I mean, I tell it how to do all that.
See, you're actually wrong. I'm not going to argue that point. I'm going to say that if you were using a phone, trying to take a picture of the moon, and you, whatever, hold it up, zoom it in, auto.
Don't go to that extreme. No. I'm talking about a photo of Antelope Canyon on your Sony camera. What did you do?
What did I do?
Yeah, I know you tried to shoot manual.
So, but even if I was in auto.
I'm talking about full auto mode.
Even if I was in full auto mode. The input that I had was
the framing
of the picture that I wanted.
Yeah, and the input I had was telling it what the essay was about that I wanted.
But you didn't teach it anything about yourself.
Neither did you on the camera.
I
did.
I'm inputting, but the part about myself is the angle that I think is best, the lighting that I think is best, the wall or the spot that I think is best.
As you said, we told the AI algorithm that the best way to represent this would be from the lens of the Northern Generals. But we shared in the input the certain amount of, you know, words that would make the most sense to the reader.
But none of that actually says anything about you. But it could. And if it did, meaning if you trained it to learn how you write, how you talk, what vocabulary you use, then it's a different story. And that's what I've said all along.
Oh, no. Look, Sony camera, if we both take a picture of Lady in the Wind,
do you think
it has no difference in my perspective and your perspective
but it does.
On full auto mode.
But it
literally
does.
Is what are you pointed at
but,
the end.
But the difference is, if you and I both went to I don't know, fuck, arches, right?
Yep.
And we want to take...
Shooting delicate arch.
Sure. Your vision of the best photo of delicate arch is going to be different than mine. You might stand head on. I might stand at a 45 degree angle. You might want to... Sure.
Our perspective would be different.
Correct. So what you think it looks best and what I think looks best are two very different things, right?
That's right.
And that is the personalized input that we have when it comes to a photo. Additionally, you and I edit photos very differently. You and I have a very different...
Oh, we're not there yet. Hold on.
I know,
we're not
going to edit it yet. What I'm saying is...
I'm talking about the creation of the photo.
When it just comes to taking that picture, the personalized input in that that makes it ours is our framing of that actual item that we're capturing a photo of.
100%. Okay, right. So in that argument,
and if we go back to the paper, if we have a personalized input, the way you and I talk are very different. Our vocabulary is very different, right?
Yeah.
But if we don't teach ChatGPT what our vocabulary is or what our writing style is or what our talking style is, then there is no personalized creation. Now, if we do that before or after, that's fine as long as we are doing it. But if all we do is say, do this for me, cool, thanks for the result, this is mine, there's nothing personal in that.
I agree, but isn't that how most photography happens for most people?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody who there's anybody who pulls out their camera or their phone, closes their eye, and presses a button.
I didn't say close their eye.
I think everybody...
You're jumping to that extreme.
I think everybody, when they take a picture, takes a picture of what they think looks best for that object in that moment. They have their personal input on whatever it is that they're capturing.
And I believe in a written form, most people would ask ChatGPT a different question. You said from the perspective of Northern Generals. I might say from the perspective of Nathaniel Green. Someone else might say from the perspective of Southern Generals. Those listeners, we should probably, you need to go. But like each person
would
articulate their input, their perspective differently.
Possibly.
My argument is, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to circle back to photography, mm-hmm. ChatGPT in written form is just full auto mode on a camera.
So let me ask you a question, okay? If we were both in school right now, in the same class, okay?
Yep. Is it a photography class?
It's a photography class, and it's a literature class. Both, okay? In our photography class...
It's called photojournalism, friend.
Sorry. So sorry. My apologies to anybody who's a photojournalist major. Our teacher says, hey, class, your assignment for this weekend is to capture one image of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Okay? So you and I go. We go to New York, which would be fun. We get on a ferry. We go to see the Statue of Liberty. We frame it. We point it. We take a picture. Unless we are literally on top of each other, our picture is going to be different.
Agreed.
Okay, cool. But we had our input in that, right? The job was take a picture of the Statue of Liberty. We took a picture, but we had a personal input on it. We submitted that work.
Correct.
Now we're in literature class. And our teacher says, students, your job is to write an essay about the Revolutionary War from the perspective of a Northern general.
We'll make it easy. Write an essay about the Statue of Liberty.
And we both say, hey, ChatGPT, write me an essay about the Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
There is nothing personal there, right? So
No.
And I'm not even saying that the result... Hold on.
But the result will be different.
That's fine. I don't care if the result is different. It's not about the result being the same or different. It's about the result having no personal connection to us.
But neither did the photo.
It did. It was our vision of the best shot of Statue of Liberty. We literally framed it and took that picture.
It's where you were standing.
This is one of those things where you're going to take a screenshot of me losing my shit right now, and you're going to send it to me in 4 days, and you'll be like, I love poking you. It's the same thing. Yeah,
okay.
It's not the same
thing. But that's not where I'm going with this argument. Okay. I love that I've got you back to irritated because you turned a nice shade of red in this.
Liquid death.
Did you get liquid death? I have a feeling you'd put death in my liquid if you could right now. I believe that what we have just created is an equal state of existence.
Okay.
That essay from ChatGPT, by whatever inputs you chose, which is your perspective, that photo captured on full auto mode, and this is very important, I'm saying on full auto mode.
Sure.
have both created a representation of your input,
okay,
but with very little connection to your actual artistic vision.
Okay.
But if you take that photo and put it in Lightroom,
mm-hmm,
and you spend a good 45 minutes on it,
okay,
and you crop and you keystone and you change the framing,
uh-huh,
and you rethink in it what the lighting should have been. And maybe you take away a shadow and you remove a kid that's on the corner and you come up with an image that represents what the Statue of Liberty is to you, mm-hmm, right? Maybe to you as an immigrant,
mm-hmm,
the Statue of Liberty has this representative difference to me, a fourth generation immigrant, right?
Sure.
Like there probably is a difference in the way that we view the significance of that particular thing.
100%.
Which could be expressed in our photography.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't make it. Maybe we would both write a paper, given time, that would just say, oh yeah, France gave it to us. But my guess is our life experiences would make our essay sound different, right?
Mm-hmm.
My argument from last week that I'll continue into this week is, I think the art is in the edit. Because that's when the expression actually happens, right? I'm not saying it's not in the input side.
Okay.
But most people aren't going to take the time to take that photograph on full manual mode. Now, you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there's space and time for people to write an essay full cloth, right? Like, sit down.
Yeah.
From step one to step two, no inputs from anything else.
Okay.
No Google, no AI, nothing.
Just what you learned.
But I don't think it's not artistic for someone to start with a frame of reference and then edit it to the thing that they meant to create.
Mm-hmm.
I also think there's value in the artist that can just shoot that thing in manual and print that photo, right? The people that have that film skill that I don't have, right?
Right.
Both are art expressed differently. And I think whether it's written word or, as we're talking about photography,
yeah,
like it is still an expression of your art. These tools are just there to reduce the amount of time it takes you to get to that instep.
Okay.
So then if you go to videography for a minute,
mm-hmm,
because it's the same premise, sure, right? So taking out the obvious things we can do, you know, we can change the color. You do all your edits in DaVinci Resolve. You can do some amazing grading in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how about shooting on four cameras, pressing a button, have AI automatically decide which camera should be in focus, where it should be cut, and making those line up? Is that art?
It's not art in the edit, but it's still art in the creation.
Okay.
I think this is the opposite of what you just said, right? So
sure.
If you take that photo on full auto, maybe that part is not art. It is yours because you took the photo.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point you just made, the amount of time that you spend to edit that photo, make the adjustments, and really make it personal, really make it come to life and have meaning for you, that is a separate aspect of art. There is art in doing that. The video that we recorded in the first place of the content that we were creating, that's one art. The edit piece in this example maybe isn't the art because I'm not doing any of it, right? I am asking the question and hitting go and it's giving me the result. And unless I then take that and edit that again, color graded, make some adjustments, make it personal, maybe cut some scenes, maybe rearrange some stuff. That aspect of it is not. I mean, it's not my art.
Okay.
It's machine learned. Or
right. So I agree, but I guess my point in all this is, but when you do those edits,
yeah,
and you get, let's say we get that tool, right? And yeah, it's going to automatically be cutting us back and forth right now, and it's going to fix the fact that my camera is not horizontally aligned. Good luck on that one.
Yeah.
You're going to notice it now that I said it. You're going to have to.
Sweet.
Isn't ultimately, though, looking at that and saying, yeah, but it made the wrong decision there, and it shouldn't have cut to him, and I'm going to flip back. That is the art.
If I do that.
Right.
If all I do is have it do the edits on its own and hit save and export, then no.
Okay.
Right? I mean, because there are people who are going to do that. There are people who will take a photo on their smartphone and go to whatever built-in editors on their phone and hit auto and hit save.
Totally.
And there's art in taking that photo. There's no art in editing that photo. Right? I mean, the art for them might have been like finding the shot, framing the shot, and saving it. But there wasn't any input on actual editing, right? If I load this video and our audio into DaVinci, and I have some magic plugin that's magically available today. And I hit go, and it does all the work. And it comes back and says, I'm done. And I say, great, save, export, we're done, without even looking at it. Well, first of all, shame on me. This is just like me getting that essay back about, you know, the Northern General and not even reading it. Right. And so, no, that part, again, is not mine.